All right, let's go into the Word tonight. We were not able to meet last Wednesday night. It's kind of thrown me off. I don't know if that throws you off or not, but when we aren't able to come together on Wednesday nights, kind of throws me off. I lose track of time a little bit, but there was the threat of weather coming in. And have you ever noticed that the threat always seems to be right about 7 o'clock on Wednesday, to where it's up in the air, that if it's going to come, that's when it's going to come. So anyway, we had heard from several that they weren't going to be here, and so we just took the proper precautions and just said we'll just meet this Wednesday. So we're glad you're here tonight. And I miss when we don't have our time together, so I'm always glad when we're able to be here. And I'm glad to be here tonight. All right, let's take your Bibles. Turn, if you would, to the book of James, the 4th chapter of the book of James. I didn't give Robert a heads up where I was headed tonight, so we'll give him a moment to find that there. The book of James, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1, James chapter 4, and verse number 1. I put my board over here tonight. We'll see if that works. We'll figure that out and figure that. I thought that way we won't have to move it around while they're up here. We're going to be talking, and I know that, can't see that blue. I won't use that anymore. But we're going to be talking about this concept tonight out of this 4th chapter of James, when faith fails. When faith doesn't work. It's an odd statement. But I think we're going to learn, James chapter 4, that there are reasons when it seems like faith fails. Now, how many of you know faith, true faith in God, will never fail? Okay, let me just say that right up front. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to, you know, play a game here. But there are times that in our lives, we look in our own lives and it seems like faith has failed. And when it seems that way, there may be some reasons that we need to discover why that it may seem to be that way. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight a little bit and see what we can discover in this together. James chapter 4, verse number 1. Let me start reading here. I'm going to read down through verse number 10. It says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive." I mean, does that sound like a failure of your faith? Not failure of faith, but a failure of your faith. Okay? You ask and you do not receive. And there's a reason for that, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. It's not talking about just trying to be friendly in the world and trying to be friends of people in the world and trying to communicate a gospel to people or befriending people that are in the world. It's talking about becoming friendly with the concepts of the world. That's why he addressed them as adulterers and adulteresses, because it's far deeper than just having a friendly relationship in the world. It is becoming committed to the world rather than to God. Okay? And so he says, you be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain that the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, so we're going to look at this, and we're going to take these verses, and we'll add some more to them here in just a few moments of James. We'll get there eventually in this fourth chapter of James. But what the concept that I want us to look at in our lesson tonight is this concept of when faith fails. When we are asking for things that we are not receiving. There's reasons. Amen. There's reasons that faith fails. Faith in God never fails. Faith in the Word of God will never fail. But faith in the wrong objects will fail and will cause failure. Amen. When you place faith in the wrong objects, failure will result. You need to understand that. So if failure is resulting in your life, it's really not true faith that's failing. It's the faith that you are placing in the wrong objects that's failing. And that is resulting in failure in your life. That's what this really is talking to us about. Because James is very clear. He says you lust and you do not have. He said, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You're not asking the right direction. And then he even goes and he says, and you ask and you do not receive because you're asking amiss. Because you're asking to consume what you want on your own lusts. See, those are products of failing faith. But what we need to come to is prevailing faith. Amen. Anybody tired of getting caught in what seems to be failing faith and not living daily in prevailing faith? Faith that prevails. Faith that overcomes. Answers that are given in the Word. It comes down to a faith issue. When failure is prominent in your life, it is a faith issue. Amen. I want you to hear that. And whatever that means to you, I could sit up here and list some things that failure looks like. And then if I missed whatever your failure looks like, you would think I was talking to everybody else. So I'm going to leave that up to you. Whatever failure is looking like in your life, whatever areas are areas of failure and struggle and areas that it doesn't seem like the Word is working, it doesn't seem like you have victory, it doesn't seem like that you are overcoming in that area, whatever area of failure you fight with, it is a faith issue. You got to hear that. It's a faith issue. And that faith issue is causing it to seem like faith is failing. And so we're going to look at what James tells us about when faith fails. What could be the culprits when faith fails? What are the issues that's causing that faith to fail? And we're going to see what we can pull from this, and we're going to pull this around. And then hopefully you're going to leave here understanding there is never a need for faith to fail, because faith in the right object, true biblical faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, true biblical faith in the Word of God never fails. Amen. Do you agree with that? Never fails. So let's jump into this, and we're just going to break this open and just see where we come to with this tonight for the next few moments. And I'm just going to dive in. I'm really not going to try to set this up any more than I just have. I've got four points that I'm going to share with you out of this, and then we're just going to pull it all together. Let me tell you the first thing. The very first thing we find is when outcomes replace trust. When faith fails, first thing we're going to look at that James shares with us about faith that seems to fail, or faith in the wrong object, the reason that faith doesn't seem to be working, is we're going to find one reason that happens, one thing that happens in our life that causes our faith to seemingly fail, is when outcomes replace trust in God. When we become outcome driven rather than trust based, it'll seem like faith fails. When faith is only towards outcomes, so we believe as long as we see. Amen. And the minute we don't see the outcome we wanted to see, we give up, and then we say, well, faith failed. That's a faith issue. That is an issue. It's a faith failure issue. When outcomes replace trust. Look, James 4, 1 through 3. I read it. Where do wars, fights come from among you? They come from the desires for pleasure that war in your members. So your desires are an issue. Now, the Word also tells us that we can have the desire. God will give us the desires of our heart. But the desires are the issue. The desires have to be based in something. Amen. Most desires are outcome-based. I want that because I want what it's going to give to me. Biblical desires are trust-based. I desire God and all that He desires to give to me. And I'm not just looking for an outcome that I want. I'm trusting Him in all ways. Amen. Are y'all with me? So immediately we understand desires become an issue. And then He says, and you lust and you do not have. Now, I reread it. You murder and covet, cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask, and you do not receive. You ask, and you do not receive. Has anybody ever asked and not received? Come on, some of y'all are scared to answer that. Have you ever asked and not received? It's a faith issue. Now, here's how we get around that. I'm gonna get real spiritual with you. Ready? Here's how we get around that. We say things like this. Well, God just said no. Yeah, just wasn't God's will. God just said no. Come on, that's a cop out. I'm not here to make excuses for God. He said His promises are yes and amen. If the answer is a no, it's a faith issue. Because the outcome is bigger in your mind than the trust in God. Or you're asking amiss because you're just wanting to consume things on your own lust. You're just wanting to eat these things up. We need to be careful about making excuses for God, because we make God seem like He's not really God. We confuse people because God says things, and He says He desires to do this, and He says He desires to give us the desires of our heart, and He says to us His promises are yes and amen, yes and so be it. He says these things, and then we ask something and it doesn't happen, and so we kind of blame God. We kind of sideways say, well, God didn't really mean what He said in His word. He just told me no. And we put off the responsibility onto God rather than evaluating what's the reason. Come on now. Are y'all still with me? Let's just be real a little bit. I mean, that's the thing. Let's just be real. We blame God for a lot of things, and it's us. He said, you ask and you do not receive. There's only one reason you're not receiving. Because you're asking amiss. And so we need to begin to evaluate, okay, what are we asking? Where is our faith based? Is my faith in the outcome? How many know you can ask God and think you're asking in faith, and really all you're doing is proclaiming your fear? We pray a lot of prayers of fear. I'm going to take your silence as you're really thinking about this. I'm not going to take that as I'm boring you to tears already. I'm just going to take it that you're thinking about this. We pray prayers that are fear-based. Because we fear the outcome. And so we begin to pray over the outcome. That's not really prayers in faith. That's just pronouncing your fears. Hey, maybe you need to get your fears out there. That's okay. But recognize what it is. Amen. It's all right to tell God your fears. He said, fear not. He said, cast all your cares upon me. So when you have cares, when you have fears, it's okay to get them out there. But don't confuse them with prayers of faith. There's a difference. Amen. Just because you got a bad report, it's all, you're praying, and I mean, your heart is sinking, and you just know it's the end, and you're just throwing yourself out there with God. That you're sometimes you're just expressing your fears, and God said, see, you're asking things, but you're asking amiss, because it's all about an outcome that you want. It's what you want to see. It's your desires, and it's not trust-based. Amen. So, when that happens, we need to be able to deal with it. Let me tell you what Jesus said. I won't take you there. You can write this down and go look at it later. John chapter 6. Amazing teaching that Jesus does. It's a long chapter. It's amazing teaching there. And he's fed the multitude. And he makes a statement. He talks about he's the bread from heaven. And talks about, and he tells all of the people, he tells them, he said, you only follow me for the bread and the fishes. You only follow me for the miracle. You're only following me for these outcomes that feel good to you. But it's not really faith. Faith is when you can stand even when you don't see the outcome you want. And you can understand, maybe I was asking in the wrong direction. Amen. Come on now. He turned to the disciples after all of them had left him, after he said some really hard things. And he turned to the disciples and he said, hey, are you guys going to leave me too? Are you going to leave me because it's kind of hard to understand? Some of them left because they thought he was teaching cannibalism. He said, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood. That was offensive. Man, we can't follow this guy. And they all begin to turn around and walk away from me. He turns to his disciples. He said, are you guys going to leave me too? They were just following me for the outcomes. That wasn't faith. Their faith failed. It wasn't faith that failed. It was their outcome. They were outcome-based. They were only flesh-based. And they were not trust-based. So you need to get that in your mind. If faith is failing, if you're struggling and there's no victory in an area, or it's only defeat all the time, and you're asking but there's no answer, you got to get this settled in your mind. You got to ask yourself, okay, am I outcome-based or am I trust-based? Because biblical faith will not fail. Amen. So when outcomes replace trust, it seems like faith fails. You ask and do not receive, verse 3 says, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures, that you may consume it upon your own lust. You want this so you can just consume, so you can feel better. So you, not for God's glory, not just so you can be magnified. Amen. And so when that is the case, and if that is the way that you spend your life, it will seem like faith has failed. But the reality is, the outcome became bigger than your trust in God. Okay, number two. And we're just going to walk through these, and then we may come back and visit them. Here's another one. When faith drifts. When faith drifts. Okay, just follow along with me. Let's look at this. James chapter 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So this whole concept he's talking about, you don't have, you're not asking properly, you're asking amiss. This is, you've got all this stuff going on, you're not living the life that God has promised, and all this stuff is happening, and so there's some reasons for that. And so verse 4, when faith drifts, when you lose focus, faith fails. When you, let me say that, because we need to hear that. When you lose focus, faith fails. Because faith can only operate in single-mindedness. Pastor, do you have any scripture to back that up? Well, I do. Good question. I'm glad you asked. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. James says, but let him ask in faith with no doubt, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. I can already hear some of you saying, well, I'll never be able to ask God because I can't. I always have doubts. And well, you're answering your question there. This is what the word says. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. The wave doesn't determine where it goes. It's just driven by the wind. For let not that man or woman suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So if you are double-minded, divided focus, faith will fail. That's why if we continually allow the world and its system and its way of thinking and the world's way of operating, and we continue to mingle that with our spirit life, ultimately there's going to be failure. Amen? Now, everybody wants to, we want the guidelines to be drawn. Well, how far is too far? Well, what can I do and get away with it? Where are the loopholes? Right? How far can I go? How close? Well, that's going to be kind of a personal issue. Let me help you. I'm going to help you. Ready? You need to write this down because this is really going to help you. This is deep. You probably needed this answer and asked this question your entire life. How far is too far? How far can I go and still be okay? How close to the world can I walk and still be all right with God? You ready? You ready for the answer? I've got the answer for you. If there is failure in your life, you're too close. Amen. Now that's not the answer you wanted to hear, is it? If there is failure in your life, you're too close. Because there's dividing of your attention. There's dividing. And so we say, well, but we're in the world. But the Word addresses that too. It says you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So you, yes, you live in the world, but you don't have to be of the world in your thinking and in your heart. And yeah, you walk in this world, in the natural, but if you'll walk by faith and not by sight, and if you'll walk in the Spirit while being in this world, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so if there is failure, if there are areas of failure in your life, I guarantee you every area of failure can be directed back to a place of friendship with the ways of the world. You can name them. If you got anger issues, it can boil down. I mean, you can boil it down to a few things, that anger issues are a product of the world system. Some people have anger issues because they have no self-worth, so they lash out at everybody else. Some people have anger issues because they want to control everything. Those are worldly concepts. And so when they can't control everything and everyone around them, they have anger issues that burst out of them. Amen. I'm talking about Christians. People in the world, they're going to do that. They're going to act that way. People that are not Christians, they're not going to act like Christians. The sad reality is too many Christians don't act like Christians. I'm more worried. Amen. I'm more worried about the Christians who don't act like Christians than the world that doesn't act like Christians. I don't expect the world to. Right? When I turn on the news and I hear that the world is acting like the world and acting like fools and doing crazy stuff, I say, yep, that's exactly what the Word says. But when I turn on the news and I hear the scandalous stories of Christians that are acting like the world, that begins to grieve my heart, because that's a failure of faith. Somewhere along the line, there was a drift. There was a division. There was they drift from focus with God into focusing on the world and its system and its way. Amen. Some anger issues come from greed issues. Amen. Lust issues are in the world. They're not in the kingdom of God. That's not spiritual concept. God is love, not lust. Lust issues don't come from God. Lust issues come from the world. And so if you're failing in lust issues, it is because, it's not because biblical faith isn't working and you're not able to say no and you're, no, that's not the issue. The issue is faith has failed because you have drifted to the world. Amen. Just trying to be practical. You can take anything, any type of bondage, any type of failure that you find yourself walking in, and it's going to boil down to there was a drift. And James writes it there, and he says there in verse 4, don't you know friendship with the world is enmity with God? Don't you know that? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend, see, there's the desires issue again. Their desires is to be connected in the world. Their desires is to be in relationship with the world's way, with the world system. You got to understand the concepts of the Word. There are two systems. There's the world system and there's the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of men and there's the kingdom of God. Okay? The kingdom of men will lead you to failure. The kingdom of God will lead you to biblical faith that will give you answers. Don't be double-minded. Be single-focused. Do you know division is never from God? Jesus, they said, this man cast out devils by Beelzebub, the Lord of the demons. That's how he does this work. And Jesus says, a house that's divided cannot stand. God's not the author of division, because division brings confusion. Whew, Come on now, you got. I'm gonna preach here in just a minute. God's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of division. So when we get double-minded, when we have these desires for the ways of the world, and we want to operate in the world's way, and we want to live by the world's way while claiming to be Christians, and over here on Sundays, we're shouting and woo-hooing and raising our hands and falling out and doing all this stuff, and then Monday through Saturday, we're operating just like the world, that's confusion and division, and that's going to cause failure in faith, because that's double-mindedness. That may be kind of tight, but it's right, the preachers would say. Amen. That's just simple facts, church family. That we got to get real, because if there is failure in our lives, it's not because we're so full of biblical faith and we just can't overcome. It's because there's some sort of failure, somehow double-mindedness, somehow the faith drift has crept in. We have drifted to the ways of the world. We find ourselves thinking on the things of the world, and the Bible says, think on these things. Amen. Right? Am I not telling you the truth? And we put things into our mind, and we allow the things of the world into our lives, and we allow those things into our homes, and we allow those things to inundate our lives, and then we wonder why faith is failing. Because double-minded people might as well not ask God for anything. It's not going to happen. You got to get a single focus. Because if you're double-minded, you're asking amiss. Because what you're asking is you've drifted from that biblical place of faith, and what you're asking is only about these outcomes that you see the Bible promises, but you're in this state of division and confusion. You've allowed all this stuff to come in and compete with God. God will not compete in your life. He will complete your life, but He will not compete in your life. Amen. Somebody, I hope you can hear that, and I hope that can grab your heart. When faith drifts, when you lose focus, he said, when you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Okay? Let me give you another one. When faith is replaced by work, faith fails. When faith is replaced by works. Verse 5. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us is jealous? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. He gives grace to the humble. Do you know what? A lot of times faith fails, and the culprit then is oftentimes faith fails because we are all about working rather than living in grace that God's given us in favor. So we think if we work harder, try harder. Amen. Let me help you. That's right, Vernon. That's religion. When you work harder, when you try harder, what is the object of those two phrases? I'm going to work harder. I'm going to try harder. What's the object? Outcomes. It's about I'm going to work harder. And who is the focus? It's not the grace you've been given. It's the outcome you think you can bring about. Amen. And here's what the word says. Robert, pull that up again, will you? Verse 6. Look at what the word says. We need to hear this. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. So the more pride you have in how good you're working and how hard you're attempting and trying, you're bumping up against the resistance of God. Yeah, I'm so proud of my humility. That's what religion is. Religion is pride. That's what it is. Give me the rules and I can keep them. That's right. I can do that. I can set my mind to it. And we in America, we're really bad about pride. I mean, pride is ingrained in our nature if you are American by birth. It is. I mean, I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm free and independent. Whatever I can do, we pump it into our kids. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against it. You can be anything you want to be. But let me tell you, usually what I want to be is not what God wants me to be. Amen. I didn't want to be a preacher. That's the last thing in the world I wanted to be. I saw my grandpa deal with hard-headed people. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm going to look at everybody. Because if I don't look at everybody, somebody's going to say, you looked right at me when you said that. I'm looking at all of us. I didn't want to be a preacher. So if all I would have been told my entire life, you can be anything you want to be, there's pride in that. If you just work hard enough. Religion is pride. God resists the proud. Do you know Proverbs says there's only a few things God hates? You want to get real? You want one of what the seven things I think the scripture says God hates? You know what one of those is? A proud look. You walk around with your nose up looking down on everybody else, you're going to walk headlong into the resistance of God. Amen. And you're not ever going to succeed that way. The religious couldn't succeed. The religious tried to make it harder on everybody else because they knew they couldn't succeed. So if they can't succeed, they don't want anyone to succeed. Amen. So the Pharisees couldn't keep it on their own. So they built this fence of a whole lot of other laws so that no one could do it. Isn't that what we do? That's what religion does. And so, and then we say, well, my faith just wasn't strong enough. No, probably your pride got in the way. It was more about works than about the grace of God. We can live this thing not because of how good we are, but just because God is good. And He's given grace to the humble. If you will humble yourself and say, God, I can't do this without you, He will lift you up. He will help you. If you will quit trying by stubborn nature. Amen. I can quit. I say all the time, I never will forget my uncle. I was in the hospital with my uncle. He had had a heart attack. He was a chain smoker. I mean, he lit one off the end of the other. And it caught up with him health-wise. He was in the hospital. And I was in there with him. The doctor told him, walked in. I was in there with him. The doctor walked in and told him, if you continue to smoke, you will die. You've got to quit. And my uncle said, Doc, I don't have any problem quitting. I've quit hundreds of times. He said, but my problem is, I always start back up. Right? I quit. And that's the mindset we get. We come into failure in our lives when it comes to biblical failure, when it comes to the things of God. I can do better. I can try harder. I can, God, here's the prayer I like, because this is the one I feel this. God, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll never do it again. Come on, y'all. Anybody here? I mean, I'll never again, God. You deliver me this time. I've learned my lesson. And if you're just like me, God gets you out of that mess. And it's not very long. And you're praying again, God, I know I said that if you'd get me out, I'd never do it again. But I did it again. If you'd do it one more time. If you just come through one more time, I'll quit this time. Come on. That's pride. God resists that. Faith will fail when pride gets in the way. And the last one, and I'll stop. When you're submitted, and I'll just try to write this down. When you're submitted, when you submit yourself to anything other than God. When you submit yourself to anything, when you are submitted more to the enemy than to God, faith fails. When you subject your life to the enemy, verse 7 through 10, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Faith fails when you submit areas of your life over to the enemy. When you say things like, well, I just never will get past that. I'm just going to have to learn to live with that. You have submitted that area of your life to the enemy, and faith will fail. So what do we do? He gives us the answer. He said, here's what you got to do. He said, submit to God. Then you can resist the devil. Not until, not before. Notice he didn't say resist the devil and then submit to God. Submit to God. And then resist the devil, because he'll help you now. And then he will flee from you. Do you know the devil doesn't flee from men? He flees from God. Amen. Doesn't flee from men. He fights men. When the sons of Sceva, they're going around, they had heard Paul preach, they'd seen him cast devils out, seven sons of a man named Sceva. They come to a demon-possessed man, and they came to him and they said, we cast that demon out in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. And that demon came out because the devil can't resist God. He flees from God. But here's what that demon said. He said, hey, Jesus we know. Paul we know because he's submitted to Christ. But you guys, you jokers, we don't know you. And you know what happened? What happened? That demon jumped on them. Yeah, there you go. They cast out more than they could bind up. That's a good way of putting it, right? Because he didn't run from men. But when you submit to God, now God is on your side. And now he gives you the ability to resist your enemy, and the enemy flees. Amen. And you can chase him off. But you've got to be submitted to God. So, okay, we're going to tie it up. We're going to close. Stand to your feet with me. When faith fails, James teaches us. He says, okay, when outcomes replace trust, faith fails. When you ask, but you're asking for your own pleasure and your own lust, you're just looking for the outcomes. You're just looking for those things, and it's not really built on trust in God, trust in who Christ is. It seems like faith fails. It'll bring failure. When there's a drift, a double-mindedness, when you lose focus, when you are torn between the world, the world's way and God's way, faith fails and failure occurs. When you replace faith with pride in your work, faith fails because God resists that, because God won't share glory. And when you submit in any way your life to anything but God, faith fails. Huh. Amen. So there's another one, but we won't go into that. And I'll just mention it to you. When presumption is greater than the knowledge of God's will. When you presume. James goes on and talks about it. When you presume. I'll leave that for another time. There is an answer for the failures of your life. Faith doesn't fail. Wrongly placed faith fails. So in your life and in my life, when there's failure, I need to evaluate what's going on. Am I outcome-based or trust-based? Am I double-minded in the way of the world and kingdom of God? Have I replaced faith in just the grace and finished work of Christ on the cross and the blood shed for me and the power of the Holy Spirit? Have I replaced that with pride of my work? Have I submitted myself to anything other than God? To submit means to bring yourself under to serve. Because the Spirit of God is jealous for us. Amen. So, when there's failure, there is an answer. And the answer for failure is faith.